This public hearing closed at 4:36.
Perfect.
Can I go to my regular agenda now?
And you've already knocked out the pledges, so.
You're welcome. Thank you. And if you have questions, call and ask the staff. They'll be glad to help you. Thank you. Consent agenda, which includes minutes of public hearing and regular board meeting of August 17th, approval of bank statement ending August 31st, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through September 21st, reimbursement for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through September 21st, and approval requests for extensions and applications submitted through September 21st. We do not have any other additional bills, correct?
Okay.
Do I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion by Director Micah, second by Director Wilson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Nothing has been pulled. Oh, boy. Discussion regarding the following the potential violations to district rules and take action as necessary. 3A. Doug, we're going to take these one by one, or are you going to put a couple of them together?
We're going to take these one by one, Tracy.
Okay.
And just FYI, we're on slide number 95 of 196.
This gentleman here.
He sees for one of these. Doug, do we need to take these?
It's only one night for you guys. You know how long it took us to put this together?
Doug?
That's one thing I want to say, Tracy. I want to thank staff, all staff in general, really Kyle and Jay. They have done a tremendous amount of work to put all this stuff together for this board meeting, just FYI.
I asked Doug earlier, with all the supporting documents we have to have for legal requirements, this entire packet was somewhere around 3,000 pages, of which much of this has been printed in hard copy and put in our permit in our files. So you can imagine the staff time involved in this.
Just compiling and tracking down all those documents to put together is time.
Doug,
yes.
Do we need to take all these in order, or can we?
You can do whatever you want, Tracy.
Well, I've got Mr. Barry here on one of these.
Okay. We can take that one up.
Patiently watching it, maybe entertained a little bit, but in any case, which one is it?
A4.
A4. System ID 1.
No, well ID 266.
Well, okay. You had two twos in my agenda pack.
Oh, yeah. I changed that after the fact. Apologies.
And you didn't tell me.
Yeah.
He's that way.
I know. He keeps me in the dark. Well ID 266 owned by Eddie Berry and or Merit Energy. Doug?
Yes, sir. Let me skip on over to that one. It'd be easier if I just do this.
Mr. Berry, I'm going to let Doug present his part first, if I could, please. And that's all right.
That's the good part I'm going to say.
We'll give you another chance. There's a bunch of stuff for us to sign in there.
A4. All right, guys, I put this back up here. A4. All right. This is an interesting situation. On August 14th, district staff received a call from a citizen saying that there was some oil and gas activity going in next nearby off 380, and they said they were pumping into a frack pit, a frack supply pond in the area. We actually received multiple phone calls about that. District staff, Jacob, actually, went up and found that well ID 266 was equipped and pumping into a frack pond on the neighboring adjacent property. It just so happened well ID 266 is owned by on property owned by Mr. Berry. Where it gets interesting is this well was originally owned and operated, this water well was originally owned and operated by Merit Energy. Although Merit Energy in their world, I guess, turned it over back over to Mr. Berry, the well registration was never transferred. In the district records, Merit Energy was still the owner of the well. And this comes into play because when we were sending out notices for historic use permits, we sent it out to the owner of the well, which was Merit Energy. And so I got that anyway. Prior to commencing operation, so Mr. McCutcheon from McCutcheon Oil and Gas, or what's the name of the company? McCutcheon Petroleum, I guess, had contracted with Mr. Berry to purchase water for the drilling of a well, a supply, a gas well, or is it gas well, on the property adjacent to Mr. Berry's. When staff found it, they had installed a new meter. It's just over 1 million gallons had been pumped. When staff was there, Mr. Berry was there, then Mr. McCutcheon showed up on the property as well. And we've since talked to Mr. McCutcheon, explained to him the situation. But ultimately, and again, as I go back to, well, ID 266 is still registered to Merit Energy. Of course, he said the Merit Energy turned the well back over to him. They failed to properly transfer the ownership of that. We actually sent notifications back when we were talking about historic use permits earlier. We sent multiple notifications to Merit Energy about a historic use permit. Never any response. It is worth noting District Rule B.3A states that within 90 days after date of change of ownership that a well is registered with the district, they've got to transfer that well with the district. That never happened, right? So basically what happened in a nutshell, Mr. Berry contracted with McCutcheon Petroleum to sell them water. They came in, McCutcheon Petroleum had electric service hooked up to the well, equipped the well, put a meter on the well, started pumping the well. Because McCutcheon Energy has no ownership of the well, no registration ownership, they're kind of in the clear here. There's nothing we can do to McCutcheon Energy or McCutcheon Petroleum. Our hands are tied into applying the violations to the registrant, so the registered well owner or the landowner. So the well was being operated without a permit. Again, we've talked about it, and since we've adopted permitting is our strongest tool in managing this resource moving forward in the future. So operating a well that should have a permit without a permit is a fairly significant violation of district rules. I'm actually recommending two different motions. One of them to offer a settlement to Merit Energy for a first minor violation for failure to timely notify the district and transfer ownership of the well, a $250 penalty to Merit Energy. And the second is a first major violation of district rules for operating a well that requires a permit without a permit. First major violation, $1,000 penalty associated with the first major penalty, and a requirement to submit an estimate of all the water produced from the well, pay the associated water use fees, 1 million gallons, that comes out to about $220, and a requirement to enter into an agreement for the ongoing measurement of waters in the well, so become a monitor well. And I'm happy to answer any questions, and I believe Mr. Berry would like to speak.
Well, let's
make sure they have any questions.
Let's see, the board has questions first, because it may answer some of yours, or it may not.
And historically, my recommendation for the penalty, that is consistent. Each time somebody has been found in violation for operating without a permit, that is the penalty we've assessed. Just FYI. That was just out of consistency. That's why that was where my recommendation came from.
When Merit, going back before all this came about, when Merit was operating, they registered with the district, correct?
Correct.
So the onus was on them to notify us. So the failure to notify is on them.
Actually, again, I made my recommendation the way I did. Rules say the transferee are jointly responsible. But because it was Merit, you know, I feel that they're more responsible for a failure to transfer the application.
Well, they're more familiar with our rules. And
right. Had they transferred this application as they should have, Mr. Berry would have known. He would have been notified, would have been more familiar with our requirements. That was the first domino that kind of led to this situation.
And just, can people hear me? I'm sorry, this is Chris Evener. I just want to make sure people know that somebody with Merit is here to represent us.
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you, sir.
Good.
He just answered my question. I was going to ask if anybody been in contact with Merit.
Yeah. Yeah, we sent him a certified letter.
I tried to get back to me.
We sent them a certified letter, so they're online.
He's got them online.
They're here. They're listening via the internet.
Well, let me ask a question first. Is it Mr. Berry that's selling the water, or is he the one that has to, or is this a similar situation like with Merit, now with McCutcheon?
I mean, again,
The McCutcheon.
As far as who pays production fees.
I mean, I don't know how we can make a stretch to put any onus on McCutcheon. They're not on paper any way related to this.
Unless they have an oil and gas lease.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen the contract. I don't know if it's a handshake agreement with Mr. Berry or if he has an actual contract, but
that was my goal. Mr. Berry, you can have the podium.
The well was drilled by Merritt in 2008. I think y'all come into existence in 2009, right?
Correct.
There is a counter on the well right outside where the well comes out. And I looked at it before McCutcheon started drawing water. It said 34 and it's thousands is counted. I looked at it afterwards and it said 457,000. And y'all are saying 1 million?
Yes, sir. Here's a picture of the meter right here that was.
You took a picture of their meter out there on their counter. I don't know what it started out at. I know that if you take 55 gallons a minute, multiply it times 60, then multiply it times 24, and it ran 5 days, you don't end up with a.
Well, we can, again, the volume of water, we can go back and we can negotiate that. That's not the major issue. The volume isn't the major issue.
I thought the well was in my name because Merritt called me and said, we're going to plug your well. I said, no, that was part of the deal. When you made a hole and fracked water out of it, that was the deal that I get to keep this water well. It's a 2-inch water well. It's 120 foot deep, 3-horsepower motor. And we started pumping. I've got the days down, but it pumped 700 and something thousand times 5 days. And I figured it out what it was. And it's not anywhere near 1 million gallons that I could see. But that may have been a counter that they already had numbers on it, that McCutcheon had turned the electricity over in his name. Jacob shut it down, I said, I want to kill the meter. They said, you can't. Mr. McCutcheon has to come. I said, I own it. They said, no, Mr. McCutcheon, it's in his name. I tried to call him. I have not been able to get him. I was supposed to get 35 cents a barrel, which is 42 gallons. And that, after 5 days, mounted up something. I spent $1,500 getting the water well in shape to use. So, you know, I feel like that Mr. McCutcheon in the first place done me wrong. And I didn't know I was supposed to have a permit. I thought that meter that was there would go into Tarrant County and they would give me a deal back. So that was my understanding. And I'm sorry for the trouble. I really am.
I understand. And like I said, it's the board's pleasure what you guys want to do.
I appreciate you all the time.
Thoughts from the board?
Knee-jerk reaction. I think $1,000 fine is any culpability here, you know. We all supposed to know what the law is, but we don't.
I'm just being consistent.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
My recommendations are always consistent from situation to situation, and you guys can change that and make whatever motions y'all want.
Mr. Berry, how much have you been paid?
I haven't got a penny. I've spent $1,600 to get the well going. I had another guy come here cost $50. Mr. McCutcheon, I didn't ask for anything up front. I thought he could pay me. I have not got a penny from him. He's supposed to pay every 42 into 500 something thousand, I think what it was. No, I have not got any money out of it at all.
Well, you're out $1,600, right?
Not $1,600 plus a couple of days my work, which is not very high.
I've been through a lot of these situations where you're turning water, you know, I worked for an oil and gas company for years and we've done this over and over. And when you turn it over and what happens is, you know, nobody really knows. It is kind of the landman or right away agent go out, kind of handshake on the deal, say, hey, it's yours. Nobody from the land department ever comes in and transfers because it's really outside the oil and gas operations. The water is kind of the forgotten stepchild of the oil and gas operations. So I can see how this happens. That being said, you know, we you know, ignorance is not always an exception for the, you know, is not an exception for to be able to do something that's not, correct. I won't say, I don't want to use harsh language here. I'm guarding my language. I don't want to, because what I'm saying is I get both sides of the deal. And so, you know, it's a, but I can see how this happens, and I don't see any ill that anything was knowingly done, trying to buck the system.
We've got two recommendations from the general manager. Let's deal with merit first. And question for staff, do we not still need merit to sign the well back over to Mr. Berry?
Yes. We do need that.
I was told by one of your men that Mike could do it without getting them to sign.
Well, they're online right now. That's why I'm asking this question.
We would prefer.
Yeah, I understand. I would too.
So for exempt wells, private household wells, current landowner, accepted transfers under current, but when we're talking about non-exempt wells, wells that require meters, require permits, it really needs to be both parties.
Brian?
Yes, sir.
Under our rules, isn't that well and all its obligations merits and not Mr. Berry's under our current records?
Well, we're splitting hairs here. Who really owns the well? I don't know.
Who had it registered and hasn't surrendered the registration?
Well, so with the rule, both parties, the property owner and the well, have obligation to ensure that it's transferred. Both have obligation.
But how does, under our rules, can Mr. Berry transfer the well back to himself? Or does Merritt have to transfer it?
You know, under our rules, the owner has a right to transfer something into their name if they have proof of ownership.
Okay.
Lacking proof of ownership, we typically want to see both the transferor or the transferee say, yeah, he has it now. You know?
That's why we've accepted, for exempt wells, I've been more lenient. But non-exempt wells, I prefer. But yeah, I mean, obviously, it's clear Mr. Berry owns the property. I mean, we easily found the tax cards. And
typically, the oil and gas company owns the well under the lease.
Wouldn't the lease that he has, you signed an agreement with them.
I signed an agreement with them, and a lady called me, and she said, Mr. Berry, we're going to come out there and plug that well, so we won't have any responsibility with it. I said, please don't do that. I said, can I get it? She said, yeah, we'll just transfer it over to your name. That's what I was talking about.
But the
young lady that works there, a family man, something, first man's daughter, this man over here knows her. I couldn't get
over
her. I would have tried to get
something
to her.
But the lease has language that says what happened.
I don't have a copy of the lease.
But we have somebody online from Merritt Energy. We could ask if they have any objection to the district transferring ownership of the well to Mr. Berry. There you go.
Bart.
Well,
if
someone's staying there
I'll be glad to chime in. So, obviously, there was a ball dropped when we were done with the well and we no longer needed it to transfer that into Mr. Berry's name. We did reach out. The lady he's talking about was one of our attorneys, Kat Lyles, reached out back in 2015. We were kind of doing this with multiple wells that we had. We wanted to, you know, we're landowners were using it. We were paying the electric bill basically on some of them. So we were getting them all either transferred into the owner's name or we were going to plug them. And so this well, we attempted to see if Mr. Berry wanted the well. I don't have any documentation, and I apologize. I just got this on my desk this morning. I've been trying to dig and find anything I could, but I don't have anything that shows that based on the agreement that we did have, a use agreement that we did have with Mr. Berry, that it was transferred into his name. The agreement that we did have with Mr. Berry for using the water expired in 2018. Subsequent, which I believe this might have been before the rule changes and notifications were sent out, and Mr. Shaw, you might remind me what that date was.
We sent out, when we changed the, when we updated our rules in 2019 and adopted a permitting process, we began in December, or is it November?
There should be a copy of that stamp folder, that stamp thing in that.
But it was late 2019, early 2020, it was when we started sending out notice, and that was about historic use permits, not for transfer.
And that was probably forwarded on to the company we sold everything to in August of 2019. And so that's probably where then that ball got dropped. So technically right now, our name is on this, and we absolutely, we are all, our full intentions was to let Mr. Berry be able to have that. That's part of the deal, right? We get to come in, we spend the money, drill the well. He gets to use the water and have the well after we were done. I mean, that's kind of the give and take that most of these deals are made by. And so, but after the fact, we failed to get that initial transfer done. And then subsequent, since then, and before these notifications came out, we actually sold everything out there encompassing these counties to a company called Eagle Ridge. And so that's where it might get a little technical.
So you're saying you don't have any ownership interest of it any longer either way?
Either way, yep.
Either Eagle Ridge does or Mr. Berry, but not Merritt.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
But Merritt hasn't transferred.
But still, but I will admit, still a failure between either me or Merritt, Mr. Berry, and or Eagle Ridge as a transfer or transferee to do fill out the work to do the transfer.
Does anybody know if this well was drilled as an on-lease well or an off-lease well? Was it drilled under the auspices of the lease, or was it drilled with a water well agreement to an off-site landowner who was not a part of the lease? Because that's important on who owns the well. Does anybody know that answer?
I am not familiar enough to know that now, but I do have the water use agreement in front
of me. Did Merritt Energy have the lease that was on the piece of property that the well was on? They did not. So Merritt Energy never leased your property. So it's an off-site water well agreement.
Yeah,
they made a deal with Watts Excavating to dig the hole, and I was told that I would get a water well out of using my
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number seven.
So it may not be, they may not have ownership under the lease then.
Either way.
That is, again, all that goes back to why my recommendation for Merritt is simply for the failure to transfer, because Rule B.3a simply states that it's the duty of the transferor and the transferee to notify the district. Regardless of ownership, that is clear because they should have been the transferor.
And we should have done that.
Right.
With Mr. Berry and made sure that got through. That just, I think through that time, it just never got followed up on. I guess.
Right.
And, I don't know. I wasn't a part of it.
And that,
I don't think that there would be any issue, though, even going to the current owners to get that done. I can't imagine.
If it was not done underneath the lease, because they bought the lease.
Right.
So if the current owners don't have the lease on the best property, the current owners of that the water well wouldn't have transferred because that would have went with the lease.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. And here's, if I may, here's why Rule B.3a is written the way it is. Because there's a whole lot of properties and a whole lot of leases in this district, and there's no way we can keep up when every one of them transfers or sells. That's why it's their duty to notify us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a very minor violation that I've recommended for Merritt. But keep in mind, had they transferred that well, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion today, right? That well would have been transferred. Mr. Berry would have gotten a certified letter in 2019 talking about a historic use permit. He would have called Kyle. Kyle would explain the process to him. He would have submitted an application. He would have a historic use permit, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. And so that's why I put that recommendation in there, because it is an important part of the story. It's an important part of the narrative, because none of this would have been happening had that well been transferred accordingly, or we've been notified that that they were no longer owners and users of that well.
Yes, sir.
There is someone who pulled the original permit.
Well, we didn't have permits back then, but
registration.
They registered the well, correct?
I got a copy of it in front of me.
Whether they owned it or not, they registered it.
Right.
They claimed some ownership and interest in it, or they wouldn't have been able to register.
Correct. And this is why, you know, a lot of folks, especially as the oil and gas, you know, prices went down and that kind of fell apart and stuff just got left by the wayside. This is why that's so important for them to transfer stuff, because it impacts landowners' ability in the future and puts, you know, potential problems on them.
So if our water use agreement with Mr. Berry expired October 31st, 2018, which actually is before we sold these properties, even though this was transferred in that, but this specific agreement expired October 31st, 2018, which was also before, you know, the notifications came out and all that. Is it reasonable to say that since our agreement expired, that it is should be put into his name from us, even today?
No, I don't think that's reasonable, because again, in four counties, a lot of leases, a lot of agreements expire, and there's no way for us to know that, which is why the rule states within 90 days of the date of change of ownership of a well, we're supposed to be notified. So if that expired in October 31st of 2018, then by end of January, roughly, 2019, we should have been notified.
Right.
And so therefore, and that 91st day, that was when the failure to notify violation occurred.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree with you. And that is all. We will absolutely own up to that. I agree with that. What I'm saying is because our agreement that we had with Mr. Berry, should that not now fall back to him because it expired, because that well was going to fall back to him when it expired. So can we not just do a transfer from Merit from this initial registration to now Mr. Berry?
Sure. You can transfer it to Mr. Berry at any point in time.
Okay. Please do so.
And please do so.
Yeah. No. Okay. I feel like that can be done, and I'm not going to argue the fact that we failed to get that transfer done in the proper time.
Merit can transfer.
Yes.
The requirement for transfer is in our new rules. Is it also in the previous set of rules?
Yes, we had a requirement to notify the district attorney.
Yeah, so that didn't change. The basic intent didn't change. What he may have changed a little.
Right.
So if we can get Merit to go ahead and transfer it to Mr. Berry.
They don't have to transfer because they got nothing to transfer because the lease expired.
Well, but they've got to notify us for the transfer.
That's not the same thing.
I will get with our general counsel and make sure, because the only thing I have that gives me heartburn is the fact that we sold these properties in 2019 after this surface use agreement was already expired.
If the heartburn's about them signing the transfer, yes, we have now been notified. I don't think our legal counsel, do you have any problem with us transferring it simply with Mr. Berry's? Therefore, based on legal counsel's recommendation, we don't need anybody but Mr. Berry's signature. Again, it was the failure to notify, right?
Yes.
And again, I'm going to keep saying this, because had we been notified, we wouldn't be having this discussion about these larger penalties for Mr. Berry. Which is why that notification requirement is in there. So yes, I don't think we need anything from Merit Energy right now, other than, you know, they had something that's already happened, failed to notify us of ownership change, which led to this situation.
Yeah. That takes care of Merit. Except we get back to your original recommendation. I mean, what's the board's pleasure on the recommendation on Merit?
The bottom.
Well, no, it's a penalty.
It's a minor violation. The max for first minor, 250 is the max first minor.
Penalty
fee.
Do I hear a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation?
I'll make the motion to approve the general manager's recommendation on the first line about Merit.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Do I hear any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. Now we'll get down to Mr. Berry. What's the board's pleasure? You've heard the general manager's recommendation.
$500 fine.
Is that a motion?
No, make it $250. I make a motion that we define
the penalty. The penalty
be it set at $250 in lieu of $1,000.
With the other provisions?
Yes, the other provisions stay as requested.
First major, $250 penalty with the first major, requirement to submit an estimate, pay the water use fee, which is 22 cents per 1,000 gallons for that water use, and we'll work with Mr. Berry to identify the actual water use. We'll look at, I think we've got pictures of both meters, Jacob says. We can look and identify that volume, and even at 1 million gallons, that would only be $200, so that'd be the most. If it's half that, it'd be $100. So am I correct? I got you.
Do I hear a second? We discussed, I need a second.
I'll second.
A second from Greg Reynolds. Now, Mr. Nakes.
Doug, do we have any previous photos of either meter?
We do not. We only have the pictures of the meter that the day Jacob was there.
And
okay. So if he's got that, that goes a long way.
And so you can get together and figure out what that is.
I assume that was put on there by Tarrant County when the well was drilled. It's a little black one out of way.
Merritt probably put it on there.
Well, I'm not sure how Tarrant County would be involved.
Yeah, Tarrant County wouldn't be involved in this in any way.
Somebody told me that Tarrant County put meters on all wells back then that were down. It's
not in Tarrant County.
No.
They controlled the area.
No, they don't. Tarrant Regional Water District, but that's surface water. That's water from Lake Bridgeport. So.
120 foot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Tarrant County has nothing to do with the well.
Work that out. I've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion from the board? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Now we'll go back to the top of this section, Doug, when you're ready.
Yep. Just moving on up.
I'll read on in item system ID 003H owned by Aqua Texas Inc.
All right, guys. So I've got, I'm going to go through these. We've got several non-exempt wells that fall on this. Majority of them are fairly easy, straightforward. They're related to removing meters without notifying the district.
Doug, we've been an hour and a half. You want to take a little break?
Fine with me. Fine with me.
It just got pointed out to me, and we lost one already because of that. So
right.
I'm going to take about a 10-minute break. Meanwhile, I'm trying to get the rest of Ann's signatures in here.
All right, we're on.
I'll bring it up when we get there. Are we back? And sure, we're back at 525.
Dave Eagle, Kevin Reynolds.
Again, system ID 003-8 owned by Aqua Texas.
Starting.
Everybody good? Finally got him quiet.
Sorry, I have food in my mouth.
Oh, that's why they're all out of here.
I pulled the Y trick. Talk to them while they're eating. Make them. Yeah.
All right. System 003H, Aqua Texas. August 28th this year, staff visited three public water supply wells on this site. This was done. Staff noticed that the volume reported for the first half of 2023 was much lower than historically produced in this system. Just for example, in 2022, they pumped 15 million gallons. However, the first half of 2023, they only pumped 710,000 gallons, or that's what they reported. That's a very small, comes out like 10 gallons per connection, so obviously not realistic. Staff went out there and noticed all three wells appeared to have new meters on them. So here's these are just the last reported end of 2022 meter reading, the current meter reading, just showing that they've clearly changed meters. And District Rule 8.3 states, yada, yada, yada. Sorry, it's more professional than that. Now you've got to let the district know. Basically, you got to let us know when you change a meter. And you've got to be able to account for any water that was pumped while the meter was off. You got to let us know. We need to know what the end meter reading was. So my motion to offer a settlement to Aqua Texas for a first violation, or and what we do for these non-exempt systems, unless Brian tells me it's inappropriate, we put the violation on the system, not necessarily the owner, because I think, you know, it's related to this particular system, not Aqua as a whole. So a first violation for system 003H, a $250 penalty for each of the three meters that were changed, and then a requirement to let us know or explain the low water usage or provide estimates of the actual water usage if there was more, and then a requirement to enter into an ongoing agreement for ongoing measurement of water levels. So entering to monitor well agreement. And I'm happy to answer any questions, and I'll let you know we've got a couple that are almost identical to this.
Doug, that does include compensation for the water you estimate to use.
Correct. So I think part of the motion would be if in fact they're able to show, or they say, you know what, the meters weren't working, we actually produced this much water, then they're going to have to, the water use fees will have to be paid, right? Because they only paid the water use fees for that 700,000 gallons.
The typical provide documentation or information to the satisfaction of the general manager to explain the
correct
actual production or projected production out of that well.
Correct.
Those wells.
I would assume they metered it when they sold it.
No, this was an existing system.
Oh, you're talking about like on the retail end.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the data exists.
Yeah, I think they would be able to, Aqua should be able to easily provide that.
And Daryl, you've been in discussion with Doug about some of this situation, right?
Yeah. So one of the things, and Daryl, you can add to this. One of the things Daryl and I spoke earlier, I've told Tracy, is like Daryl and I have a good relationship. Although we can still talk nice to each other, even if we can agree to disagree. And that is, you don't always have that with people, right? And so I do appreciate that with Daryl. One thing he didn't notice is, you know, he talked about their internal protocol and maybe developing something. So his staff knows when they pull a meter, they need to notify us. And he mentioned something about those little wire tags, you know, that you have to cut like they have on electric meters. I actually thought that was a great idea, and I'm going to look into doing that and the district going and getting some of those and putting them on all the non-exempt wells. So folks know when they go to pull a meter, we can't just pull this meter. We need to notify the district. So I did think that was a great idea. But yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Doug, I think it's interesting you brought this. We've looked at this as a system instead of an owner. So owners other than Aqua may have a bad reputation and may have 12 different systems that are broken. And we see a continued misuse of the system by them across that. I kind of question, maybe we need to think about if we want to look at it as a per system, if we have an operator that continually misuses
right.
rules.
Right.
Because, you know, if they have they're in here 12 times on one meeting and they have 12 first violations, one for each system, that's a bit of an issue.
No, I get that. My logic was, is like Aqua that has 50 systems and maybe has a pull the meter here, pull the meter there, pull the meter there. And now all of a sudden they've got three violations. And the next one is like, you know, basically automatic litigation kind of thing.
Shouldn't Aqua know better than us what the rules are?
Early.
I mean, you've got legal counsel. You've got obviously people who are dedicated to making sure compliance occurs. You know, we just fined a guy $250 because he, you know, he was totally, I don't think there was anything in his state of mind that he was trying to take advantage of the system. How can Aquifer say we didn't know? Well, it was a mistake.
And I can see both ways on this. I think where we've had issues with repeat, what I call frequent flyers from the drillers, that's typically where we've had a lot of them. We have issues with operators in more than one location or multiple locations or high percentage locations. I think staff's going to bring that to our attention. But I can see the point of, you know, I can see both sides on this. I think Doug's, you know, and Aqua's not the only one that has multiple systems. They could easily get up in the pushing the 10,000 per on what's really technically not that big a violation. So I'm kind of along the lines of doing it this route on this. I had a question for Daryl, and I don't know if how far you thought down on how to rectify from your side the product, the water you produce for it, and if you think there's going to be problems coming up with that number.
Good.
Your turn.
All right.
Thank you for hearing us out. Guilty as charged on this one. All right. So here's the brief list of excuse reasons. New staff in Granbury, supervisor didn't know about the Upper Trinity rule. Upper Trinity rule is more strict than any, we maybe have one other groundwater district that has this type of rule. I do the reports for Upper Trinity on spreadsheet every 6 months, and the meter changeouts have two separate columns. And so there is that transfer of data. Now, you don't actually see it because it gets transferred into a different format to meet the data format that you want. But the meter changeouts are transmitted in terms of the volumes and the data. The other things, there was a lot of new staff in Granbury, including the supervisor, they didn't know. There is some turnover, obviously. And we're on the type of meters we want, we're on about a 6 month delivery supply chain issue. That's a problem too. We are open to whatever the district wants to do on this particular one. We'll make payment or whatever.
Was this a situation where a meter broke and you couldn't get a replacement?
Yes.
But there's three of them?
Yes. So I don't know if they broke all at the same time, or we just replaced all three of them when we replaced them. Because of Blue Water, this is Blue Water Shores in Granbury, we have to find a better way. And the problem we got, this is our problem, we change out hundreds of meters a day. And we got to try and catch the one that was opportunities that day. That's our problem we've got to implement. That's why Doug and I talked about this little tag like the electric meters have, at least it kind of should red flag whoever, because I can't rely on attorneys to know our rules, as you mentioned there a moment ago. This is not an attorney problem. This is a field operator problem. I've got to get the field operator who's actually changing the meter to get the pictures to get to you. So anyway, that's my 2 cents worth on this one.
Well, and I like the tag idea because sitting up here, XYZ operator says, well, you know, if he replaced the meter and he didn't notify us, he had to cut that tag off of there. He knew. So that's not an excuse. That helps us on that part.
Going back to that tag, can that tag, I've seen the tags, they don't have numbers on them. Some of them do.
He's,
in other
Doug's
words,
gonna,
could
Doug's
you make
gonna
the tag match the number of your meter?
Oh.
Don't know the answer to that yet.
Let's let Doug see what he can come up with.
Yeah, we'll find something.
Yeah. So, anything else from the board? Heard Doug's recommendation on this one. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion. We move forward with the general manager's recommendation.
Director Nave, do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Watts. Any further discussion? All in favor? Go ahead.
No, I think the fine, in light of who we just fined $250, their fine $750, I think, is totally inadequate. And the fact, the argument that it's our manager or our staff, I mean, we're excusing a corporation that generates, I assume, large sums of money every month, and they can escape culpability by merely saying we didn't train our staff adequately. Does that make sense? So I think a $750 fine is totally inadequate looking at the totality of the situation and what we historically assess people when they do wrong before this board.
Well, I've got a motion and a second on the floor, so I'm going to have to take a vote on it first. Correct? By Robert's rules, correct?
I have not things to do.
Oh, you can't argue that. You can't claim that one.
Okay.
Yeah. any other
You're
discussion?
Allowed to have discussion, and he's having discussion.
Yeah. And that's fine. Yeah, but, I've got to take a vote first on what's on the floor.
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Point of discussion of if he doesn't feel that's adequate, what do you feel is adequate?
If I'm allowed to amend the motion.
You're allowed to suggest that he would have to accept the amendment. So
$1,500.
Total?
Total.
$500 per meter?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Nodding heads doesn't work with children.
I mean,
the motion was made.
Are you amenable to amending your motion?
I'm amenable to amending my motion.
You're second.
Okay. So that's where we are. Now I have motion on the floor with a total with $500 per meter and the other stipulations that were in Doug's recommendation. Any further discussion?
The $250 is that consistent? Well, I don't remember. Is that consistent to any, does it have precedent where it's consistent with anything that's come up before it?
We've done that a few times.
I don't remember. I remembered a few cases that's kind of like this, but I don't remember what the fines were.
Typically, first major's been in the
250 or 5.
50 to 5, occasionally 1,000.
Yeah. Well, the last one, the precedent we broke was the last one, right? Because every time somebody is not over, every time somebody has operated without a permit has been a $1,000 penalty. And I still stand by that being the most significant penalty you can in our district. But this is something, my recommendation's in line with historically what we've done. And that's where that came from. It's again, goes back to my statement earlier. It's up to you guys to do what you guys want to do. My recommendations, I try to be as consistent as possible with what we've done and what I've recommended historically. The $250 recommendation is in line historically with what we've done with this level of violation. For the most part, there are some that have gone a bit higher than that. But that's, again, that's just my recommendation. Y'all are the board of directors. Y'all make the decision on these things.
Anything else from the board? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. System ID 007T owned by Aqua Texas. Doug?
Same situation. Staff went out to look at reported production was much lower than historically had been produced. Staff went out to take a look at the meter. When staff got there, they found the new meter had been installed. Here's the, you can see it actually just like wasn't even hooked up yet. Wasn't even running yet. They just installed the meter. And I don't think, Blaine, you were out there. It wasn't even that well hadn't even produced or was, yeah, so I thought.
Not produced.
Same recommendation again. It's up to you guys what y'all want to do.
That explains the discrepancy in the table you showed us early in the day. Okay.
Both of those two systems that were much lower were just those, were these two systems.
Okay.
Correct.
And still going to have to work out the production amount, the quantities. Correct. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, as well.
Go for it.
I'm going to totally oppose this one. I agree with the comment on the declining number on the chart on Blue Water Shores, but not this one. This one, we had the well down, all right, and we were on Walnut Creek Water Supply Corp because the well was down, thus the decline in the production.
Okay.
I had the impression on this meter change out that it actually occurred right around the same day when the district staff come out. So I do not agree with this one at all.
Mike said it had been changed 7 days prior to when we were there.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, we still weren't notified, but yes. It had just been changed. Yeah, according to Mike,
prior. Basically, we don't have any production on the new meter.
Right.
And
that's what, like, staff felt that there was no, it appeared that no production had come through. It looked like that the well hadn't been producing. That's what I was waiting to hear from Daryl was Walnut Creek. So I had a feeling something like that was going on with this system.
So there will be no, we're not going to support an adjustment amount here either.
Well,
because I could show you.
Yeah.
But Walnut Creek's meter reading.
Yeah. And for that, Daryl, for that portion of it, that's all I need.
Okay. Good deal.
Thank you. Yeah. So basically all we're talking about is the failure to notify of changing the meter.
Right.
And your recommendation on that was 250.
Correct.
And there was no, appears to be no.
Correct.
Failure to.
No,
quantify the quantity you pumped.
It
wasn't pumped.
I had for some reason I was thinking that they did have an interconnect in this system, and that was, I had a feeling that was the case, but I wanted to hear that from Daryl to confirm that.
I'm going to morph your recommendation, which called for a penalty, declaration of first major violation on this system. A penalty of $250, and upon presentation documentation to the general manager, there is no need to account for water pump because there weren't, may not have been any.
Right.
Is that a fair summation?
Correct.
Is that a fair summation? of the circumstance. You're going to show him your Walnut Creek energy. That'll take care of that in usage.
I think 7 days is reasonable.
Doug, what do our rules say?
For notification?
A water meter may be removed. It's on the screen right now. Water meter may be removed for repairs and will remain operational provided the district is notified prior to the removal and repairs is completed in a timely manner, yada, yada, yada.
Prior to removal.
Well, and the well remain operational, but he's telling us the well.
Well, that's saying if it's operational. You're right. I mean, I understand where he's coming from because it wasn't operational and it wasn't even after the fact. I don't know if Brian has an opinion on any of this. I know he's looking at something right now.
I'm reading rules.
He's reading rules.
Daryl, are we clear that if a meter comes off, we need to know before it happens?
Yeah, very clear. But the rule, your rule still got a little kink in it.
I want to make sure.
Yeah, we're clear on that. Okay. But like when we pull a well, the meter's really disconnected, but we don't notify you prior. There's too many things going on.
That's the question I was going to ask. Your maintenance man or whatever carry extra meters, and they find out one's broken, do they immediately change it?
No, they've got to go through an inventory process, but the answer around
the answer is you have the extra inventory in the back of your trust, and you can do that by – the whole point is your system would not be down but a short period of time.
Correct. Ideally with supply chains, but ideally, yes.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. But
right.
It's just like a plumber. Right? He's got extra tools in the back.
The kicker on this rule is the last statement. I don't know why.
That good.
I'm trying. Is the last statement, right? Failure to notify the district prior to removing a meter for repairs constitutes a major violation of these rules.
I don't think that should be running.
Probably nobody can meet that. That's a tough one.
That's the reason why I brought the question up. If your guy's working on out in the field, he has a replacement meter, he replaces the meter, then returns to the shop and says, hey, I redid the meter. That violated our rule.
Throughout the district, throughout groundwater systems, I guarantee you 99.9% of the time it'll be a post meter change out notification. This prior just, has some good people. I want to know who they all are because we need to hire them.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we'd always like to take a picture of it before you pull it off. That way we at least see what the end meter reading was.
With these and the penalty, can we have a first violation?
Is that what they do
without a well? Without a penalty?
Sure.
They have
sure can.
Equipment in the back of the trucks to fix most of the equipment.
And I would entertain a motion.
We've done that before.
I would make a motion that, along with the spirit of the general manager's recommendation, that we show a first major violation of district rules on this system, no penalty, and require a written explanation of the low water usage of the system during January through June, and a requirement to enter into an ongoing measurement of water levels and well ID 763.
Okay.
I'll second that one.
Director Lusk, any further discussion?
Repeat the...
It's a finding of a first major violation for this system, no penalty. Work out the water use, which is going to be, in this case, showing the Walnut Creek connection and pumping permit, not from the well, and then enter into an ongoing water level, monitor the water levels in well ID 763. Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Daryl, I know you're going to work with it. You're fine. I know you're going to work with Doug. We need to find a way where we can meet at least the intent of the rule. And I own and operate a business. I have employees, and I know it's not always easy, but we have rules, and Aqua knows as well as just about anyway what our rules are. And we want to work with you. But we want to work with you. We need to make sure we're following the rules.
Well, there's a little pressure on not just only the big corporation in the district, because we live and die by this internally, and there's so many metrics that keep it high
have on my agenda is item 2B, since Doug renumbered them for me later. System ID 035H, owned by Crescent Crossroads.
Correct. July of this year, district received groundwater production report from Crescent Crossroads. The initial report, well ID 312, indicated a new meter was installed. District staff had not been informed prior to the meter change. They wrote it here. Let me see if I go back, point my laser pointer. Right here, they wrote new meter installed. Because the meter was changed, the well owner was unable to provide the district with actual volume of water produced from the well. They made no record of the former meter reading. We reached out for meter reading logs. They didn't have that. You can see here, this is actually an email right here. I apologize to Leigh. We did not have meter reading logs, which technically that's a requirement under our rules to have meter reading logs. They provided us with the electric meter for that well. It's used solely for that well. We were able to use formula to figure out how much water was produced based on the specifications of that well and the kilowatt hours used per month. So we were able to estimate water use from that. So again, here's my recommendation.
First major violation, $250 fine.
Yeah, and it's already a monitor well, so I didn't add that on there.
But you actually have a second major violation because they didn't have a log, correct?
That could be, right. They did not have a log.
Do we know if they even bothered to keep logs on their other wells?
That's their only well they have.
Right? That's the only well they have.
Yeah, Crescent Crossroads sold all of their wells except for the one at the plant, the concrete plant. Right. Well, that's the only one that didn't get transferred, correct?
Or maybe there might be one right next to it. It's a non-operational one.
Yeah, I think there is a non-operational.
No, I think they're all twin well sized, and honestly, don't really.
The other one right beside is plugged.
Yeah,
it's plugged. The Trinity well right beside it doesn't exist anymore. That one serves the concrete plant.
Read it off the meter.
How'd they do the December? Just read it off the meter without a log?
Say what?
How do they do their SA2 from last year?
They changed the meter in January. So they had it, I guess
they had a meter reading for December, but they didn't have anything after that day. Right.
So are we saying they didn't have a log? That's a potential violation because they didn't read it before they pulled it?
Right. Well, they're supposed to be able to provide us with meter reading logs. I forget what role that is.
To back up in case the meters
if requested.
But they provided data for December.
Well, that was the previous reporting period.
Yeah.
But yes, they had a meter on it then. The meter was changed in January.
I guess what I'm saying is if they're turning in numbers every 6 months, is that not a log?
So the meter reading log that we reference in our rules is literally their log of writing on meters. No, on the report, we do not have a monthly log. The report is the meter reading at the beginning of the reporting cycle, the metering at the end, and they report a monthly volume. And if it doesn't make sense, then we request the meter reading, the meter log, the log, and can take their meter reading log and make sense of it. And we have to do that quite a bit.
Okay. We have the general manager's recommendation. Do I hear?
I would say, you know, and if in light of the previous one, if, you know, increase this to $500 too. I mean,
well, the previous one we took it down to zero.
Well, I mean, the one prior to previous.
You notify you, put your revenue.
Which circumstances match this pretty well.
I have a deep desire for consistency. Sorry.
Are you more consistent about that?
What's the board's pleasure?
Consistently inconsistent? I did not mean that.
Just a joke.
Just a joke, for the record.
You need to?
Okay.
All right. What's the board's pleasure?
We got more of these too. That
oh, I know. I'm well aware of that.
And I'll be honest. Why we brought this up? It's historically we've kind of been aware of it, and it's gotten out of hand with a few particular water producers. And I will note it's somebody that doesn't operate well systems anymore. I think he's been fired. But it became such an issue that I'm just. This is why they're all on the agenda. Like, and when we find out you change the meter, I'm just going to put it on the agenda now because
they tell us ahead of time.
Right, unless they tell us ahead of time, correct.
But in this particular case...
Or notify us quickly.
We found out about it because they told us.
6 months after, yes. 7 months after, yes.
From a geological standpoint, that is a point of denial.
I'm still waiting for a motion.
I move we follow the general manager's recommendation as written.
I second.
Motion by Director Lutz, second by Director Nave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
We already did this one?
We've already did this one. I'm going to go to Doug's number five or maybe four on your agenda.
Tracy, did you get my abstention on that?
And for the record, Director Reynolds abstained on that because of work issues.
Yeah, I work inside the mud.
He works inside the mud.
And that well is located inside the mud that I work.
Okay. You'll sign a little form for them later?
I don't have to because it's not more than...
It doesn't meet that.
Doesn't meet the 10%.
It doesn't meet that. Well,
it's just the smell test.
He's just being hyper ethical.
That I have no problems at all with that.
There you go.
I'm pleased with that.
Okay.
I'm going to try to drive this engine on. ID system ID 193T owned by Gallagher Acquisitions LLC.
All right. So this one is actually quite a bit more significant than the last two. System 193P owned by Gallagher Acquisitions. This is an RV park in the Alito area. This was approved. I have it on the next one. No. This well was approved in
July
of 2022. Well ID 17274 was approved in July of 2022. Operating permit was approved at that time. Became operational right at the end of this year, beginning of this year. Of course, with an operating permit, non-exempt well, meters should be installed. Reports are required. In June of 2023, we did not receive a report. As we always do at the end of June, we start notifying folks that haven't reported to us. We received one response from Mr. Gallagher, the owner. And then after that, our request for his reports, went without response. On August 23rd, district staff visited the well site and found that they had never installed a meter on the well. Here's a picture of the well, real nice pipes just running on cinder blocks. But there's no meter on that well, has never been a meter on that well. They have since. We did finally get to visit with the lady that manages the RV park. She has since had a meter installed, so there is a meter on there now. But we have no idea how much water they've used. Never installed a meter. So my recommendations, again, with this one was, with typical most first violations, typical $250 penalty associated with first major violation. Second major violation for failure to submit accurate groundwater production reports, $500 penalty associated with the second major violation, a requirement to submit an estimate of groundwater use during the January to June reporting period to the satisfaction of the general manager with a 10% late fee penalty, which is consistent with what's in the rules. However, should they fail to submit the reports, the estimates, and pay the associated fees by October 1st, at which time it becomes 60 days late, then I would say the penalty is increased to 3 times the water use penalty fee, which is also consistent with what is defined in our rules.
We have metering on this well already?
Say what?
Do we have or?
They've never put a meter on this well.
Water depth.
Yes. Okay. This is already a monitoring well.
Correct. They understood when they had this well that it was required to be metered.
Correct.
That gives you 9 days.
It
does.
What is the max penalty in our rules for first major violation and second major violation?
The max penalty for a first major violation is $1,000. The max penalty for a second violation is $5,000. The max penalty for a third violation is $10,000. And each day of a recurring violation could be viewed as a separate violation. And technically, every day that they've operated without a meter could be a separate violation.
Well, it could.
It could be.
We've not exercised that.
To my knowledge, we've never done that. We've consistently not exercised that.
We have not had sufficient circumstances to do that. You're looking at me with a question in your face.
I have none.
Okay. Well, you won't look at me again.
looked at you with a question mark in my expression.
Yeah. Make a motion.
Do they seem to talk to you? No.
The RV park manager has been more than willing to talk to me and everything. She was unaware of our existence because she takes care of it. The owner seems to have basically stepped away from all of it. He was the one who was the applicant.
I can understand that the manager doesn't understand what all of the business operation of the
She was the one though who, like, I sent her all what we needed. She got the meters already installed, all of that information.
Yeah. She did her due diligence.
Yeah. Once we finally, and I think we
had to hand her my card.
We literally had to go in there, and as we've talked about before, Don, we literally had to go knock on the office door and hand her a card because we didn't have her contact information, and the owner was just, they weren't responding to us.
Do you need another toolbox on this one? I mean, you're not getting a response from the owner.
Well, we're getting responses now.
From the owner?
From the manager. Well,
my recommendation is when we finish is that when the next letter has the list of the fines that include up to $5,000 or whatever, make sure that they have documentation.
I was going to make an addendum to your recommendation that if they have not paid all associated fees by October 13th, then the offer is rescinded and be brought back to look at the maximum level on each and to look at the whether or not we want to go to each day as a separate violation.
Okay.
If that would help get the owner to contact you.
Right. I'll do that. And so what I'll do in the letter is, and you read that I did said report the estimates by October 1st and pay the fees by October 13th.
Right.
Instead of saying that it's just increased to three times, I'll say then the settlement's null and void and the matter will be brought back to our board of directors for potential larger violations, larger penalties.
So maybe we can get this cleared out by the 13th.
Right.
Where I'm going.
And the 13th, I think that gives us time for me to put it together to get it on the agenda. I think that's why I picked that date, honestly.
Okay. Any other questions? Sidebar discussions?
Chair to entertain a motion?
I make a motion as proposed with the corrections as stated.
And did you get all that? Are you good on that?
Okay.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Eyebrows don't count as a response.
I said it.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. System ID 043H owned by Sky Harbor WSC.
Is this our returning problem?
Yes. This should be the last one from our returning problem. This goes back. Sky Harbor has historically been managed by Stevens Utilities. They cut ties with Mr. Stevens sometime in the last 6-8 months, similar to the issue we addressed last month. That particular system, reports were submitted to us. We asked for meter reading logs. The picture you see there is what we got. It makes no sense. I mean, meter readings for January are higher than meter readings for April and some of them. It's just complete insanity. Kyle and Jay and I spent an inordinate and unacceptable amount of time in that conference room going through this, looking at spreadsheets, trying to line up meter readings, trying to make sense of it. Again, Sky Harbor, Sky Harbor owns the system, but they've never operated it. Stevens Utilities, from my understanding, did all the billing, all the data. They've reached out to him. I don't believe he responded and was able to provide anything. I believe he changed some meters out before he left, which is, we identified some of the discrepancies that had to be meter changes. Blaine, I think, went out there and found, was it just one? And so on August 8th, district staff went out there after comparing the ending meter readings for previous reports. Staff found the meter for well ID 318 had been replaced without notifying the district. And then in addition to meter change, district staff discovered that there was an issue with previously reported production for well ID 320. For the last several reporting periods, Stevens Utilities had reported no usage from that well. However, after examining the meter reading, district staff noted that about 13 million gallons should have been reported prior to the beginning of this year. In other words, the last reported meter reading
that they had is 54,830,100.
From a date, do we have that?
That's what they've been reporting consistently. At the end of on December 31st, 2022, that's what they put. Yeah. For 2 years, they said that well was down. However,
put the light on the 1st of January.
Right. Right. So, yeah, it must be a really good well. So there's about 13 million gallons of unreported water. And then there's the changing of the meter. Last time for the system that did this, because obviously the board felt that, it was done by a management company that was no longer there. They didn't assess a penalty. But it is a violation. I've got a first and second major violation. And they need to submit the estimate of the groundwater produced and pay the associated fees and enter into an agreement to become monitoring wells.
We need a time frame for them to address how much water was used and pay those fees.
I would say, I've got somebody online that says they're the new operator and they're making changes and they may want to speak. Last one, I was a very tight window. Those folks just never put a meter on. I'd be a little bit more lenient with these guys, but I would still want those estimates pretty quick.
Middle of October?
Middle of October. Middle of October, pay by the end.
And the obligatory failure to do so makes this offer null and void, and we start over. We'll carry the stick. And I just looked at the minutes from our last meeting. This is consistent with what we did last month.
Mm-hmm.
Similar situation with the Stevens utility. Board have any other questions? Chair to entertain a motion.
Make a motion we follow the general manager's recommendation with the exception of adding a date for clearing the amount of water used by the 15th of October and payment of associated fees and no penalties.
Don't put no penalties.
Correct. By the 31st, and if not done so by the 31st, the offer is withdrawn. Go back to the board.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. 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 Any opposed? Motion carries. System ID 139P, owned by Walsh Water LLC.
Walsh Water, if you're not familiar, Walsh Ranch, big giant development, east side of Parker County, into the 2,000 acres of it's in Tarrant County. Walsh Water is the entity that retained ownership of the groundwater estate under the development, primarily using that. I think they operate a couple wells. There's still some cattle out there on the outside the development. Primarily, their wells are used to fill the vanity ponds within Walsh Ranch. September 11th of this year, district received groundwater production reports from Walsh Water. The reports were 30 days past due, which is already 10% penalty. Staff reminded the system owner numerous times from the end of June through September. We never really received a response until September 5th. And finally, they responded, got us something in the next week. Blaine went out to all the wells, take pictures of all the wells so we could have pictures of the meters, compare that to what they submitted. I think there was, and it was confirmed that they did replace a meter in July and again in September for well ID 12787. Again, this is an email saying for that, apologies. I redid the sheets. He also saying that they, the meter ID confirming was replaced in July and again in September. The reports when they submitted them were quite, they weren't the worst we'd ever seen, but they were kind of a mess. Jay had to work with them and get quite a bit of corrections on the reports. So my recommendation, again, was a first major violation for failure for changing the meter, $250 penalty for each time they changed the meter. A second major violation for failure to submit accurate groundwater production reports within the required period,
$500 penalty associated with the second major violation, requirement to submit accurate reports to the, for the January-June reporting period, which I believe they have as of now, including estimates of water produced from well ID 12787. Did they produce some?
So the meter was changed after this reporting period ended. We just
That's right.
We just caught it in July and September.
Right. So that's going to be an issue for the next reporting period. And failure to submit these by October 1st and pay the fees by October 13th, I would say back to the board. They have consistently been kind of an issue since they came online and started reporting use and started pumping water into those vanity ponds. They've consistently been late in responding to us.
You said it's going to be an issue, the July and September change of that. We're handling the major violation with this. What's going to be the issue that they don't have the math to support water usage?
How are they going to estimate that? I mean, they might have separate meter, they might have a separate electric log, maybe. I don't really know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're talking about July, August.
Right.
They hardly use any water in July or August.
I mean, hardly any.
Daryl pumped a bunch.
Pumping a tremendous amount of water, but how
do we need to address the meter now, or do we need to address it when you...
You mean the change of the meter?
Yeah.
So I think we need to address that now as a violation.
Because we know about it now.
I mean, we know about it now. I think we need to address it now, and I think if... I think as far as if...
They have 4.5 months to work out
right
their water usage.
Correct.
Between now and the end of the year, when they have to report.
That's fine. I'm just asking the question. I'm asking, do we need to be consistent? I'm wondering if we need to double the penalties. That's a question for the board, similar to what we did. They would entertain a motion. We have the general manager's recommendation. That's my question.
I'll make the motion to accept GM's recommendation, but double the penalties.
Now, motion by Director Wilson. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Berkeley. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And Tim will abstain from
it. Tim, and for the record, Tim abstained on that. System ID 091H, owned by DL Calendar Properties, LLC.
This is the last of the non-exempt ones. August 1st, this has kind of been an ongoing issue as well. August 1st, district finally received groundwater production reports submitted by DL Calendar. I was just blunt on here. The reports made no sense. The beginning meter reading on the report didn't match the end meter reading from the previous report. February district staff was on site, took a picture of the meter. And that did not match the tables that were submitted of meter readings. From February, staff went back out there in August, took another picture of the meter. The meter wasn't functioning. The meter did not change from February to August, but they reported production. So obviously the meter, I don't know if I put the, here's their report. I mean, beginning meter reading, ending meter reading. These are supposed to be their volumes, but I think these are meter readings. And here's the kicker. We know what that meter said. We have pictures. They literally made up numbers and just wrote up made up numbers on here. Like, we literally have pictures that what that meter said in February.
How many meters are on the system?
One.
One.
Yeah, one. There's two wells. One is completely non-operational well, but it has a meter on it. That meter hasn't moved in years.
So that
it hadn't moved in years. Doesn't mean it hadn't been.
Well, it hadn't moved this year. So you see that here's the meter in February. So the meter reading in February is actually what they report as the end meter reading, which they mistook, and that's 2.6 million, not 2,200. Isn't that right?
It's supposed to be 266,000.
Oh, yeah. And they wrote 26,000 or something like that.
Right, that's what they put for the beginning meter reading for December
right.
First meter reading.
But they put in...
But that was the ending meter reading of the previous old meter. So why put that...
Again, this took us way too long to even figure this out, but we figured that out. We figured out what they were doing. And I think we asked them, so like, what did you do for these meter readings? Did you just make it up? And I think they're like, yeah, we just made it up.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you thought that was there?
You just made it up.
I don't remember. It was unclear where the meter reading came.
Well, we know the meter didn't move. September 7th, they put a new meter on. They didn't tell us they put a new meter on. We went back out there to go see if we could, you know, make more sense of it. I think I sent staff out there to actually see if they could get the well to kick on and see if water was moving through it and the meter wasn't rolling. And that's when they found that they had changed the meter. Of course, this is Rule 8.3 about changing the meter. This Rule C.3 talks about the accurate and timely submission of pumpage or transport volumes. Here's my recommendation. First major violation, district rules for failure to notify for removing a meter, $250 penalty. Second major violation of rules for failure to submit accurate groundwater production report, $500 penalty. Requirement to submit an estimate of groundwater used during January to June 2023. And requirement to enter into an agreement for an ongoing measurement of water levels in this well. I would add that Kyle and I set up a meeting with this gentleman to try to work some of this out. He didn't attend the meeting. We set up, it was supposed to be by Zoom, but he didn't log in. I will say that it's my understanding that the gentleman's has some health issues. I don't think that excuses any of this because this has been kind of an ongoing issue with this system as well. But I did want to mention that.
They said ongoing issues.
This is not the first time we've had to prod them. Yeah. Reports or get
this time we kind of had the prod because he was in the hospital and things like that.
I think this gentleman is having some health issues in and out of the hospital, and I think whoever's responsible for the system managing this is and what is it used for, Kyle?
It's used for like stone washing, I believe.
Yep. It's down there in Hood County.
Yeah.
And I believe whoever's responsible for operating it is just not doing their job.
Do we need to put a time period on response? You don't have that on there.
Generally, just so y'all know, when I send letters, I usually do. I usually give folks 30 days, just general. The last ones I put them on there because I think they're shorter than that because they're already 60 days late on some of those. You know,
is he not here? He submitted a report, but it's obviously an erroneous report.
Right. We still have no idea how much water was used.
I mean, we can get a good estimate based on at least to some extent. We know the dates that the new meter went on, and that one clearly worked in like 167,000 gallons have been produced. You can basically extrapolate that out, assume, you know, a certain amount of production, you know, throughout the reporting period and figure it out.
Right.
But
so just go through your standard reporting requirement.
Yeah, just give me – basically, this kind of goes back to a couple months ago. I've accepted estimates before, but those estimates are always based on something. They're based on sales, you know, to the retail customer. They're based on electric meter readings. This one, I don't think they have anything to provide us. It would purely be an estimate. So before I accept just purely an estimate, I want the board authorizing me to accept that estimate, which is why I put that language in there about to the satisfaction of the general manager.
Ready to make a motion?
Yes.
Go for it.
The GM's recommendation with the following stipulation that the penalty set forth be increased by 3 times.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second that.
Now, Director Wilson, correct? Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We are now out of the non-exempt wells. And while we're there, and it's been brought to my attention the question of whether we would want to set up a policy where the general manager can handle some of these on his own. The problem is we changed about half of them tonight. So
he'll be consistent.
He'll be consistent. The question is, are we comfortable with it? If we are, you guys let me know and we'll get something on here and set that up.
Put it on there.
Huh?
Put it on there.
I'll put it on it. Well, depending on the length of next month's agenda, how's that?
My understanding is we will have to address the rules this year.
That
would be a good time to talk about that as well, perhaps.
I don't know that it would take a rule requirement. I think it would probably be bylaws or a resolution. But I'll talk to this guy.
But
he's pretty smart.
Talk about all that.
Yeah.
No telling that.
All right. We're going.